in light of baptisms, I have a short word for you today outside of the book of Daniel. We'll pick that up next week, preparing us for those 12 who will come give their testimonies. Harold Wilmington, in his Guide to the Bible, said this in his introduction of that book about the person of Jesus Christ. He said, it has been estimated that over 40 billion individuals have lived upon this earth since Adam. I think it's closer to 50 to 60 now. And he said, what a contrast can be seen in this vast multitude of humanity. They, the billions, speak dozens of languages, practice multitudes of religions, have formulated numerous cultures. But he said, every single individual shares one vital thing, his purpose of life here and his eternal destiny afterward depends completely upon his or her personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How true that is. Everybody's eternal destiny depends on what you will do with Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22 and verse 42, the question was stated to those who were in the hearing of our Lord, and I'll state it to you. What do you think of Christ? Matthew 22, 42. Today, 12 men and women will be baptized. And so I begin to think about what baptism is, and looking back what I've shared with you over the years, I think this year, new and fresh, Matthew 28, 19, I think you know that well, that refrain of the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, right, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So certainly there's a triune God and an effect of that in baptized, that it's to be immersed into the Godhead. But if I could just take that second name, where it's the name of the Father and of the Son, we baptize, we will, in all three names, but as well this morning in the Son. In Acts 2:37, after they heard Peter preach at Pentecost, it says, brothers, what shall we do? They asked. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there you're to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Christ. I mean, Scripture paints so many names of Christ that it's hard to catalog it. To the artist, he is the one altogether lovely in Song of Solomon chapter 5. To the architect, we know him as the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of 1 Peter chapter 2, 6. To the baker, if there's any here, and many of you are, he is the bread of life, John 6, 35. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure in Matthew 13, 44. To the builder, he is in Scripture the sure foundation, Isaiah 28. To the carpenter, he is the door in John 10, 7. To the doctor, he is the great physician, Jeremiah 8. To the farmer, he is the sower and actually the Lord of the harvest, Luke 10, 2. He is all that, and you would agree, and so much more. I think in the Scriptures, in both Old and New Testament, there are 150 names given to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think as I study Daniel, I've been looking ahead a little bit in the book of Revelation. His names are there just in the book of Revelation. He's the faithful witness in 1:5. He's the firstborn of the dead in chapter 1:5. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth in chapter 1. He is the Alpha and the Omega in 1:8 and 21:6. In 1:17, he is the first and the last. He is the living one. In 1:18, he is the one with the sharp two-edged sword in 2:12. His name is the Son of God in 2:18. In chapter 2, he is the one who has, it says, eyes like a flame of fire, and he has feet of burnished bronze. In other words, he is the judge. He is the one who is, in chapter 3:7, holy, who is true. He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness in 3:14. He is the beginning of the creation of God in 3:14. He is the root of David in chapter 5. He is in chapter 5, the Lamb of God. He is the Lord, holy and true in chapter 6. He is the one who is called faithful and true. He is in chapter 19, the Word of God. He is the King of Kings and the what? The Lord of Lords, chapter 19. He is called Christ or Messiah, who's ruling on earth. And of course, he is called the bright and morning star. And I can go on and on, because the person of Christ is so rich, so beyond us, that Paul even said, as an apostle to the Gentiles, it was his joy to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, you couldn't mine all of them. They're a treasure, whether it's his mercy or whether it's his grace or it's his forgiveness. He is matchless, as we have already sung. But there's just one name that I want to give you this morning. And I want you to look briefly in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And it's a name, maybe we can just fix our attention on it. It's not the only name, but it is the name, I might say. Do you remember, of course, in Philippians 2:8, where he was found, it says there in the likeness, or being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, in light of his death, subsequent resurrection, God has highly exalted him in verse 9 and bestowed on him, here it is, the name that is above every name. I love that phrase, and I think we know this scripture. And he's been given a name. It's above every name, and sometimes we don't think, what is the name that is above every name? Well, keep reading. Verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, here it is, that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. There is the name that is above every name, that we would confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the name above every name. Lord, that word, describes his essential nature. It's the name that is above every name. It means sovereign ruler. Sovereign ruler, and certainly in the context of Philippians, he's both God and he's man. If you want to look back, go back just a few pages to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You remember when he's praying there that, and I'm in 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 18, or down to 21, excuse me. There, it's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. What name is that? Well, it's that in 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the name above every name. That is why, beloved, if you're watching movies and they take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's just nothing so revolting as that. This is his name above every name. Lord is a designation that links the Father and the Son in their essential nature as deity. In fact, just listen to this. In Acts 2:36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. He's Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah, but he is deity in Lord. It says in Acts 10:6 that the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, and then in parentheses, he is Lord of all. There's names, and then this is the name above every name. In Romans 1:4, Paul speaking there that he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is again. You could finish the statement with me. Those who come to Christ, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as what? Lord. That is the very definition of a believer. What is a believer? It's somebody who has repented of his or her sins, and they are confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will, or you shall be what? Saved. He is Lord. Paul said later in Romans in 14:10, for to this end Christ died and he lived again, that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. He is Lord. That is his name above every name. And when I think of baptism, these 12 that will come, what is it but a profession of faith in Christ as Lord? And so they come not because it's salvific, as you know, but because he's Lord. They get in the water. They're going to give testimony. They're going to tell you what happened in their life. But we're not hiding this. We're not hiding their testimony. I'm not coming in the water, or Dan or Blank, and just dunking people. No, we want them to publicly profess Jesus is King, right? That he's Lord. I mean, this is how you know if a man or woman is truly in Christ. If that man or woman who's at Teen Challenge confesses Christ as Lord, that's a believer. It's when he is Lord of your life by virtue of who he is. Hebrews 1:4 says, after making purification for sins, I think you remember that, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And it says, having become as much superior to the angels, you know that from reading Hebrews, it says, much superior to angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. What name? Well, we know from these other scriptures, he's Lord. So my question, just as I begin, what do you think of Christ? The Bible declares him to be the sovereign ruler of the world. Sometimes at the end of our board meeting, I don't know, there's 16 of us gathered at the Master's University and Seminary. It's common that we close our meeting out, and we just closed a meeting out a couple weeks ago where some students from the Master Seminary who are sponsored by some of the men in our church. We sang that great hymn, All Hail. Do you know that one? The power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him, what? Lord of all. He is.